Thank you for coming back to Minot today. And speaking of coming back, we have Tom Smesrud here again to help us with our gardening. Last week we talked about preparing the ground for our garden, and today we're going to talk about controlling pests, both above ground and below ground.
People around here will have to deal with pests throughout the gardening season, whether it be above ground or underground. Topical above ground stuff, you know, are caterpillars, worms, deer, rabbits, rodents, things like that. Underground ones are sometimes like your cutworms and your grubs and your nematodes, things like that. And in all cases, there is usually a good organic or natural way to defend yourself from all these pests.
I've not heard of nematodes.
Nematodes are a small, non-segmented worm that come in a couple of different varieties. Some are good, some are bad. Some you want in your soil, some you don't. The bad ones, of course, are going to give you like root knots and problems with wilting and things like that. With a good nematode, they're almost microscopic. They help break down the natural ingredients that are already in your soil and help to produce fertilizer. So you do want good nematodes in your soil. That is the benefit, of course, growth for the plant.
Aside from them,
Okay,
the other day I was actually delighted to see a nightcrawler in my garden.
Mm-hmm.
When I lived in Moorhead, Minnesota, we had a lot of night crawlers. They were no fun mowing the lawn because of that, but they are good for the garden, aren't they?
Well, some are, some aren't. Sometimes those night crawlers can be a bit of a pest. Sometimes people have problems with night crawlers eating their little baby onions.
Oh, I had not known that.
Yeah, and you'll go out to your garden and you'll just see an onion just disappear under the ground.
Right in front
of your eyes. Earthworms are very beneficial, not necessarily night crawlers.
Okay, good to know.
Mm-hmm.
So I had interrupted you a couple times there on these nematodes. What other ones did you want to say are beneficial?
Well, there's three different types, and I'm not going to get into that, but let's just say that there's shallow, mid-soil, and deep-soil nematodes. They live in your soil naturally, and they help your plants thrive. And you don't want to get rid of those. There are some things that you can do to encourage that. I mean, you can literally buy nematodes. And it's called, there's a product out there called, it's a treatment, it's called Triple Threat. And what it is it's the three different types of nematodes that you mix up and just spray on your soil. Huh. And then you till them in and it goes in and they start to thrive. And they work on killing bad things. They kill grubs. They kill armyworms, cutworms, flea and tick larvae, cucumber beetle larvae. They're very beneficial, not just in making good nutrients for your soil, but in protecting your plants from those invasive species.
That's really cool, especially the fleas and ticks.
Yes.
Now, you said you can purchase these. Can you get them like at Lowe's Garden Center here?
I'm not exactly sure where around here that you can get them. If you go onto the internet and you look for a product called Triple Threat, that's usually will get you what you're looking for, or just beneficial nematodes. And those are really, really good for keeping the pests down in your garden, especially those bad grubs and cutworms, things like that. The other unknown benefit of that is it keeps your moles away and out of your garden because it removes their food source.
Oh, and I've seen moles and voles.
Yep, it takes care of their food source. If they don't have food, they're not going to be around.
Now, I'm sure many dog owners, their ears perked up when they heard about killing ticks and fleas.
Mm-hmm.
If a person would buy this Triple Threat, and I don't know how that is packaged, but let's say you get a cup of them or something, How well will that distribute throughout your yard?
Well, most people don't buy this for that particular reason. They mainly buy it for to protect their plants, you know, their garden plants, from the underground attacks of the different grubs and worms and stuff. The added benefit is that it does go after the larva of fleas and ticks.
Okay, I get it.
And, you know, you just basically you spray it on, and it starts to go in. This is a live organism that goes down into your soil and starts growing. And when it runs out of things to eat, it dies too.
Oh, okay.
So it's never going to harm anything in your yard. It's not going to harm your pets, children, anything like that. So these are very, very beneficial things that most of the time happen pretty naturally in your soil. If your soil doesn't have them, it's not real healthy.
Okay. Now, we talked about above and below ground. Where do slugs fit in there? We had a heck of a time with slugs until the flood. The flood got rid of our slugs.
There's several things you can do with slugs. I mean, there's, you know, of course, ortho products, you know, Slug Be Gone, things like that. And I don't like using those where just a good old dose of salt around your plants will most of the time take care of them.
And salt won't hurt your plant.
Not if used gently.
Okay.
You don't want to get too carried away with it. But there's all sorts of other ingredients such as liquid dish detergent that you can mix with like an oil or a neem oil. Neem oil is very beneficial for controlling all sorts of different insects. And with using the detergent makes it more of a surfactant, so it goes a little further, and it penetrates better. So,
I had not heard of neem oil.
Neem oil is very, very natural product. It's been used for years and years and years and years and years. The Native Americans used it to protect their gardens. It's an oil that you can just buy, and you mix it with a little detergent, spray it out on everything, spray it on your leaves. It also is beneficial for reducing mold and mildew, things like that on your plants if you're having downy mildew problems. Anytime you've got a surface type of disease, sometimes a good dose of soap or neem oil will also help that.
Now, just the name neem oil makes me think it's a petroleum product, but I doubt that.
No, it's a natural product. It's botanical.
Oh, good to know. Mm-hmm. We had talked about deer last time, mm-hmm. and I have a problem with that. Now, there must be some kind of scent you can use or something to get rid of it. I mean, I know the hunters use buck scent to attract them. Is there something like mountain lion scent or something to get
well,
rid of them?
We don't have to go that far. You can just use rotten eggs and garlic.
Really?
Yeah. You can make a homemade batch of that. It's just nasty. And, yeah, you don't want to be around it, and it makes being in your garden not very pleasant. So there are some commercial products out there that have kind of glommed onto that idea and have made these concentrates that have just a rancid egg garlicky smell that you can literally just spray all over everything, and the deer and rabbits just will not tolerate it, and they stay away. The only problem with it is a lot of times if you get rains and stuff, it washes off, so you do have to keep reapplying it. It does work quite well. I've used the one called Liquid Fence for years. And the reason I ended up having to use it was because deer and rabbits decimated a crop of mine. And I got no squash and pumpkins that year because it was outside my normal fence. And they just ate it all up. And then the following year, I did the same thing, but used the product, not a problem.
Oh,
bumper
nice.
Crop.
We've been fortunate. We do get the deer in our garden regularly, but they've never damaged our pumpkins. They have actually eaten tomatoes, and I was told that was not real common.
Mm-mm, no. I don't have too much problem with them eating tomatoes, mainly because most of my tomatoes are behind fences, but they do really go after your squash plants. They have in the past, and it's like every time one of those things bloom, it's like a flag that says, come here, come get me.
Okay, so
those
it's
are
the
big
blooms.
Blossoms. Yeah, and they go after the blossoms, and then if there are some real young fruits, they'll eat those too. They leave the vines and the leaves alone, pretty much.
Okay, well, that might explain our situation. We usually do summer squash and zucchini, and they've been pretty good at leaving that stuff alone.
Summer squash and zucchini, things like that, are real kind of a spiny plant. They don't like that on their nose.
Yeah.
So they do kind of stay away from it. But you start getting into a pumpkins, Hubbard squash, Boston marrows, big winter squashes like that that have vines that go for half a block. They're gonna eat that stuff.
Okay.
You got to be able to protect it.
Well, that was one of the chores I was going to do today before everything got so busy for me, was to stop at Tractor Supply and look at some of their cattle fencing, because that's what my neighbor used to keep the deer out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
They didn't bother my yard until the other people put up the fencing.
Right, right. Yeah, there's been several people that have lived along the public gardens over on South Hill, and everybody fences. But unless you have tall fences, the deer just go right over them. And they are drawn to that garden spot up there because it's wide open. And it's just a smorgasbord for deer.
Yeah. Yeah, my neighbor's fence is 10 or 12 feet tall.
Oh,
I'm not
sure
what it is. So
mine are I only have small fences on most of it. I got 3-foot fences. And I've got some 6-footers that was an old dog kennel around another section. But because I use that liquid fence around the perimeter of that fence, they stay away and they don't even go over it. So they don't like the smell.
You know, I, at times, especially when I've had a bad day or whatever, I like being in my garden and gardening and, you know, picking weeds and stuff. But this concoction you're talking about, would I be able to still enjoy myself in the
Usually
garden?
You can. Yes, you can. The initial spraying of it is pretty, you know, obnoxious, but it goes away quickly. And unless you make your own homemade stuff, and then that sticks around for a while.
But, okay.
the other benefit is that it also keeps the rabbits away. I had a real problem already this year with a rabbit.
And
he just mowed down my pea plants. And they were getting up about 3-4 inches high, and he just ate them all down to the ground. And so then I sprayed everything, and now they're coming back.
Okay.
But, he ain't eating them now. He doesn't like it.
Well, that's a decent solution. You're not harming the rabbits at all. And, see, we like bunnies at our house here. You know, we enjoy watching them and photographing them and stuff. We've been, again, fortunate there in our garden. They don't seem to like anything we plant. Now,
you must have some very picky rabbits.
We must, because, you know, everybody thinks of Bugs Bunny and the carrots, and they've never bothered our carrots.
Yeah, I've never had a problem with them with carrots.
Yeah.
They sure like the peas and the beans, though.
Oh. Peas and beans.
Mm-hmm.
Well, our garden area, I already described to you about the size of this room and this area of the room. We're a little limited because we do like some vines.
Yeah.
And
it does
so
take up some room, doesn't it?
Yeah. This year, our entire garden consists of two different varieties of tomatoes, the regular ones and some grape-type tomatoes.
Sure. Yeah.
Doesn't seem like much of anything bothers those, the little tomatoes. And then we did some carrots and spinach and the summer squash and pumpkins and zucchini. Mm-hmm. That's it. Yeah.
Yeah. You only need one zucchini plant, and you can supply your whole neighborhood with zucchini.
Yeah.
No, the tomato plant's one of the only real natural enemies to the tomato plant is the hornworm. And you get a couple hornworms on a tomato plant, and they will defoliate that in a night.
And what do they look like, Tom?
Well, they're a big, fat, green worm that is exactly the same color as the plant.
Ah.
And it has a little horn on the front, on its forehead. And unless you find him and pick him off, he's going to go unnoticed until your plant is devastated.
Okay.
And they'll literally eat into your fruits, too. But you get an infestation of those things, and they can be devastating to your crops. So there's a BT, Bacillus thuringiensis, or something like that. Most people just say BT. It's a spray that you get, and it is it's a treatment that uses it's a biologic, and what it does is it uses bacterias and germs, so to speak, against the bug, against the worm. And it gets on them and it gets into them. It is absolutely harmless to humans and pets, but it kills them worms dead. And it's really good for your cabbage worms and for your coal, your brassicas, your cauliflowers, your Brussels sprouts, things like that, cabbage, and keeps those little green worms at bay.
Now, you say little green worms, but I thought I've seen them. They're not fat little guys, then.
No, not the cabbage worms. The cabbage worms are just the little green ones. The horn worms are big.
That's the ones
they're
I'm thinking of.
They're a big, fat one, and those love your tomatoes.
Okay.
Yeah. But yeah, that BT spray is really good. It's a biologic. You can also use pyrethrins, which are made from chrysanthemums.
Oh.
And that takes care of them too. You got to be a little careful with that because those can also harm beneficial insects. So I suggest going with like the BTs. BTs are completely natural, completely organic, and gardeners have been using these successfully for years, and you can use them right up to the day of harvest.
Tom, I think we're already out of time again.
Okay.
Perhaps, you know, we could come back and talk about pollinator gardens.
Mm-hmm.
I know
okay.
they've become real popular.
Yes, I love my pollinator garden.
Oh, good. I want to know more about that. But we have run out of time, but I do want to know more about that.
Okay. I will I'll bone up a little bit on the subject. And,
perfect.
Yeah, so
I'll keep my notes handy.
Okay, sounds good.
Thanks, Tom.
You're welcome.